Greetings, good morning, and we are now continuing with the series of Mishnayot that begin with Ein Bein. Today we're going to conclude the halachic section of Perek Aleph, and even though the attached page carries us into the Agadah, which begins on Daf Yod Amud Bet, this shiur will conclude with the halachic bit, and then we will have a second shiur that begins the study of the Agadah. Ein bein shilo l'Yerushalayim elo shebishilo ochlin kotchim kalim maser sheni b'chol haro'eh shalayim lefi min ha'choma. So it's important to clarify as follows. When it comes to the Mishkan that was set up, a person may eat kotche kotchim, so a Kohen who's eating kotche kotchim, eating part of a chatat, etc., eats that in the Azara, or in the case of the Mishkan, in the Chatzar Mishkan. But kotchim kalim, for instance, Korban Pesach, other shlamim, are eaten anywhere from any point where that you can see from that point the Mishkan. And this was, of course, true in Shiloh. Shiloh, by the way, if you go to Shiloh today, you see that the dig at Shiloh, where the site of the Mishkan was, is at the bottom, sort of a bowl that's all something like a 360-degree amphitheater around it, surrounded by mountains. So there is really very wide range of area where you could sit and see the Mishkan. Indeed, a friend of mine, Zev Ehrlich, a number of years ago, took me up to the top of one of the spots in Eli and pointed down and said, okay, you are Elkanah and you're coming for your yearly korban to Shiloh, as presented at the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, and you have a particular problem. You go your korban to Mishkan and then you back up onto the mountain in order to eat your korban. What is the problem? So I immediately responded. So the problem is you might go too far, and then you will be beyond the line of Kol HaRoeh, and your animal and your korban will become nifsal. He said, okay, so how do you solve that? I said, well, you build a fence. So, well, you're in the Shomron. What kind of fence do you build? So immediately I responded, you build a fence of stones. And then he brought me over to a little corner. He showed me the ancient remains of a stone wall, which he discovered running around a lot of the perimeter of that spot, which he believes was set up in order to mark where the point was beyond which you could not take your korban if you were celebrating at Shiloh. In any case, the Mishnah defines the differences between Shiloh and Yerushalayim as being that in Shiloh you could eat kotchim kalim b'chol haro'eh, u'Yerushalayim lefinim min ha'choma. In Yerushalayim, it's bounded by the walls of the city. Anywhere within there you could eat kotchim kalim. V'chan v'chan kotche kotchim nachalim lefinim min ha'klayim. In both cases, the kotche kotchim are eaten by the Kohanim, who eat those parts of the kotche kotchim, can be eaten only inside of the curtains, which means inside of the Azara, in the case of the Beit HaMikdash, and inside of the curtains in the Chatzar Mishkan, in the case of Shiloh. Now, parenthetically, the Mishnah, and this is the end of the parak, finishes as follows, Kedushat Shiloh Yeshachari HaHeter. So, after Shiloh was destroyed, now there was permission, as we mentioned in the last Mishnah yesterday, there was permission to have a bama. You could have a private mizbeach in your backyard. But once Yerushalayim was built, there was no more heter, which means even after the destruction of the mikdash, even the first mikdash, there was no more allowance to have a private bama. The only place you could have the mizbeach was on Harabayit, in the proper place, and if not possible, then there is no mizbeach at all. Good. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Shamati shemakrivin b'veit chonyo bizman hazeh. It's important to note that the Mishnah in Menachot towards the end discusses the breakaway of the Kohen in the Greek period, Onyas, Chonyo, who then went to Egypt and set up his own Beit HaMikdash. And the question is how to deal with Beit Chonyo. Was it an idolatrous place? Was it simply forbidden because you're not allowed to build a Mikdash outside of Yerushalayim? Or was it a perfectly functional Beit HaMikdash? So Rav Yitzchok says, Shamati shemakrivin b'Beit Chonyo b'zman hazeh. I've heard that you can bring korbanot even today in Beit Chonyo. So kesav Beit Chonyo la Beit Avodah Zarah. So the first thing he must accept is that it's not an idolatrous place. Because kesav kedusha rishona kitcha l'sha'ata v'lo kitcha l'atid lavo. He must also hold that the first kedusha of Yerushalayim, when Yerushalayim was sanctified by David and then by Shlomo, was not a permanent kedusha, but was contingent upon the building being up. Once the building is no longer up, you could bring korbanot elsewhere, and thus Beit Chonyo is acceptable. Dichtiv, what's his proof text? It's pasuk number one on the page from Parshat Re'eh. Ki lo vatem ad ata. Moshe says, you've not yet come. El ha-menucha v'el ha-nachala. To the resting place and to the inheritance. The resting place, the notion, is some sort of a temporary stopping place, and the nachala is the permanent place of the Mikdash. Well, how do we interpret this? And this is a four-way machloket at the end of Zvachim. Menucha zu Shiloh, Menachala zu Yerushalayim. Menucha means Shiloh, the place of the Mishkan, and Nachala represents the permanent resting place, which is Yerushalayim. Makish Menucha l'Nachala l'Menucha. So the Torah here juxtaposed the two to say, Ma Menucha yesh acharei hetar, just like as we know, after Shiloh was destroyed, there was a heter. You could have the Bama, for instance, Nov and Givon, etc. Af Nachala yesh acharei hetar. So with Yerushalayim, you could have a heter after it's destroyed. That is an approach, of course, which is not in accordance with our Mishnah. Amrullah, so they said to Rabbi Yitzchak, Amarta, did you really say it? Amar lahu lo. He denied ever having said such a thing. Amarava hai Elohim, Amara. Rava said, indeed, he really did say it. He took an oath. Gamirna lamine, and I even learned it from him, that he said you could bring korbanot to Beit Chonyo. My tama kahadave, so why did he change his mind and then deny having ever said it? Shemkash to Rav Mari, because of the challenge of Rav Mari, Demoti Rav Mari, he brought the following challenge. He brought our Mishnah. Kudushat Shiloh Yerushalayim Heter, Kudushat Yerushalayim Enacharei Heter. Yerushalayim, there's no Heter after Yerushalayim. So once the Mikdash is built, there is no bringing Korbanot anywhere. V'yotanan, we have another Mishnah in Zvachim. Mishabau Yerushalayim Ne'asru Abamot. Once they arrived in Yerushalayim, that was the end of any permission to have private altars. V'loyalayim Od Heter. That was called Nachala, the final inheritance. So why? So Rabbi Yitzchak now was challenged, and so he backed off, and he said, I never said you could bring Korbanot in Beit Chonyo. Now the answer is the Tanaihi. This is really a dispute of Tanaim about a very essential issue, which is Kedusha Rishona Kichala Shatava Kichala Tilavo, whether or not the original sanctity of Yerushalayim was permanent or contingent upon the standing of the house. Ditnan, we have the following Mishnah in Masachet Eduyot. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Shamati kshayu bonim b'aichal osin klaim l'aichal. I heard that when they built and they did any sort of work in the Beit HaMikdash, they would put up a fence, sort of curtains around it, uklaim l'azara. El shv'aichal bonim mibachutz, in for the heichal, they would build the walls on the outside, uvazara bonim mibifnim. They would stand on the inside and work inside of the klaim. V'amar Rabbi Yoshua, Shamati shemakirin af apisha in bayit, ochlim kochim kochim af apisha in klaim, kochim kalim masashim af apisha in choma. Yeshua said, I understand you could bring a korban today, even though there's no mizbeach, just find the spot of the mizbeach, and you could eat kochim kochim inside the place of the azara, even without walls, and kochim kalim masashim, you could be eaten inside Yerushalayim, where the area within the district where the walls were. Mnesha kedusha rishona kichala shata v'kichala tilavo. Because Rabbi Yeshua says, after all, the first Kedusha is permanent. And therefore, take the walls down, take the Mizbeach down, take the Beit HaMikdash down, you could still do all of those actions. Now, it sounds as if Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are disagreeing, in which case Rabbi Eliezer's statement reflects the idea that the Kedusha depends on the house being up. House is down, you could bring Korbanot elsewhere. So it sounds like we have Machloka Tanaim. So Amar Ravina Larashi Mimai, he said, who says that that's the case? Perhaps everybody agrees that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is permanent. Umar, Maidishmi Aleikam, are they simply giving reports on what they heard? This is 100 years after the Churban or so. Rabbi Elazar Rishua, it's 50 years after the Churban, around the time of the Churban. Okay. But nonetheless, they're giving reports about what they heard. Rabbi Elazar says, I heard that when they would build in the Mishka, in the Mikdash, this is what they would do. And Rabbi Yeshua said, I heard people saying, you could still bring Korbanot even now after the Churban. V'chitema claimed that Rabbi Elazar l'amaliso. If Rabbi Elazar says that Kedusha Rishona Kichala Shata V'Kichala Atid Lavo, then what do you need to put the curtains in when they were doing the building, as if to create the Kedusha? The answer is that Tzniut Ba'alma. They were there just for privacy, not for any halachic purpose. Ella, you're right that it's a machloka Tanaim. Kihani Tanoi, the following Tanaim, the Tanya Am Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, remember that name. Lama Manu Chachamim Etelu, why did the Chachamim in Masechet Arachim list a bunch of cities that were considered walled cities at the time of Yoshua? Shekshalu Bnei Agula Matzu Et Elu V'Kudshum, when the people came back from the exile in Bavel under Koresh, they came back and they found these cities and they sanctified them because they had the sanctity of a walled city. Aval Rishonot Badlu Mishabat La'aretz. But the ones that had been there earlier were batel. Alma kasara kedusha rishona kichala shata v'lo kichala atid lavo. So obviously the first sanctity, and now the Gemara is mixing the sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash or the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. Take a look in the Rambam, in Hilchot Shmuel Perek Aleph, you'll see that the Rambam does not mix them together and maintains that Kedushat HaMikdash is really based on the standing of the Bayit, whereas Kedushat HaAretz is really based upon the presence of the Shechinah, which is never batel. Raminu, so Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, seems to think that the cities that were originally Kadosh and are gone, there's no Kedushah there anymore. Raminu, we have a challenge from Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi himself. In Sefer Dvarim, it lists all sorts of walled cities. They all had high walls. So why did they count the specific ones? If the Bnei Agolah came and sanctified them, Kitshum, what are you talking about? Hashta Amri Lo Tzrich LeGudusha. You just got through saying that they are already sanctified. In other words, they were sanctified forever. Alamatzot Elom Naum, that's the idea. These cities are all listed so that when the people came back, they knew, aha, that city used to have a wall, so it's Kadosh. Which means, according to this report, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, the Kedushah that was originally created when they conquered Eretz Yisrael is a permanent Kedushah. Not only these cities, but any city that you have a reliable tradition that says it was walled in from the time of Yoshua, which means, according to the second report of Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, the Kedushah of Eretz Yisrael is a permanent Kedushah, and not conquest nor eviction from the land erases that. So Kash Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shmuel. So we now have a challenge, Rabbi Shmuel, a contradiction of two reports within Rabbi Shmuel that contradict each other. The answer is Trei Tanoi, I'll leave it in Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. The answer is we have two versions. You're right. One version says, and they're both commenting on the same Mishnah Arachin. One version says that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said that they named these towns because they found these towns still intact and they re-sanctified them. And the other one was, no, to know which towns were Kadosh because they were always Kadosh. Perhaps the report that says that Kedusha Rishona is forever is not Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, but his brother Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. Tanu Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi Amar, we've had this before. Asher lo choma, take a look very carefully at Pasuk number 3 on the page. Asher lo choma, referring to a walled city. So it's written, Lamed Vav, Lamed Aleph, but when it's read, understand as lo, meaning that it has a choma. So he said, what does he say? Alpha Pisha in lo achshav ayolo korom lachain. So the Cree that he doesn't have a wall is there to teach you that even if it had a wall and it does not have a wall anymore, it's still Kadosh. So in other words, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi clearly holds that Kedusha Rishona was permanent, and therefore we could say that the second Braita that we saw, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, is really Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, saying that it's permanent Kedusha. And the first Braita that we saw that said that it was not permanent and they had to re-sanctify the towns was indeed the real Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Really was Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, who said that the Kedusha Rishona is not permanent. In Yirtzeh Hashem, later we will continue with the next passage, Vayihi Me'Achashverosh, and do the Agarata, but for purposes of structure, it's more appropriate for us to end the shiur here, and then to pick up later on and continue to the end of the handout. Everyone should have a wonderful day, and Chodesh Tov.